prayer. Father, right now we are thankful for your presence. We know your presence is here because Jesus has ushered us all into your presence. The word says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is only because of him that we have a standing and we're able to worship you purely, freely, holy, and able to hear and understand your word, Lord. This morning, Lord, we're asking special prayer for the people of Haiti right now, Father. It seems that nation is slammed with so much, one thing after another. Only you know, Lord, what is over them, what needs to be controlled, and how to help them, Father. We just ask that you do our part of the different things, for the safety, for resources, for all the help that they need, Lord. And, Lord, we remember those in Afghanistan as well because we have brothers and sisters in that nation who are going to experience and are experiencing threats of violence and even life loss for the sake of the gospel. Keep them steadfast and movable, always abounding in your work, Lord. We pray for this service today that it be what you called it to be, a sweet-smelling savor, an offering to you. Amen? We give you glory, honor, and power in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's start with singing to your feet before we get into the word. Y'all know the song called Good, Good Father.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard thousand stories of what they think your life, and I've heard
the tender whispers,
of
love and the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone.
Never alone.
Why is that?
It's who you are.
said I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good,
you
good
are
father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Morning, running for Christ. RLCM. Thank you. Thank you. Teaching, learning, and doing the work of the Lord. Yes. Bringing in disciples. Yes. Leading others to Christ. Amen. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to see everybody again. It's a good thing. Worship. I have a scripture for you today. It is James, the first chapter, the 2nd through the 18th verse. It is the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has to grow, has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he will never tempt anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow,
it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession.
Yes.
May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and readers of his great, great, great word.
Isn't it good to know the one that created you and me and everything else hasn't been fired, hasn't been canceled, can't be, because nobody would even know where to send the email, nor would he listen, because he's God, and he don't take direction from anybody. He holds our world. He holds your world.
What? As I surrender to
I knew y'all knew.
Your will.
I confess you're my righteousness.
I confess you are my righteousness.
And until you move me, I'll be still.
Until you move me, I'll be still.
And what do you want to know?
And know you are God. You hold my world in your hand. You hold my world in your hand. And I am amazed at your love. I am amazed that you love me. You hold my world in your hand.
You won't let go, never let go.
me. You won't let go of me. You won't let go of me. You won't let go. Never let go. You won't let go of me. You won't let go of me. You won't let go of me.
Nobody. I'm just saying the truth. If you don't act like what you say, you have no faith. See, our faith is not put in something. Our faith is based on something written by someone.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people thought on Friday somebody was going to be reinstated to office. That's what they believed. There is no document anywhere that states that, that a former person, president, can be put back in office. Nowhere. But people acted on it. They believed it. They moved. They had faith in it. But it wasn't based on anything. But here we have the very word of God.
Yes.
We have a whole history of who he is and
yes.
what he can and will do.
Yes.
Not only in scripture, but in our own lives.
Yes.
Act like it. You're still here. Because he won't let go. He promised, he said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And Jesus said himself, anybody my Father has given to me, I have not lost one. He didn't slip when you got sick. He wasn't asleep when that person died. He knew very well, and if they were in him, he came and took them home. He won't let go. And even now, those are our loved ones that are with him, he's still holding on to them too. So we got a glorious God to praise. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why when you come in here, don't be sad. Don't be tripping. If you're scared, act on your faith. Come and sit proud. Give him praise for what he's done. Magnify his name. Make him bigger in your heart. Come on, let y'all know this.
Come into this house. Magnify the Lord. Lift up holy hands. Our hearts in one accord. But he's worthy, worthy of all our praise. But he's worthy, worthy of all our praise.
dollars anyway.
They come to love me, sing unto the Lord. He has given us a song and song, but he's worthy, worthy of all our praise. But he's worthy, worthy of all our praise.
Is he worthy of honor and glory?
Governors in all these places and kind of people thinking they got power, and when they exercise their power, you know what happens? People get hurt. People lose. People get sick. What about your God? What about the Most High? What happens when he exercises his power? What happens when he raised Jesus from the dead? Now, if he's got that kind of power, put your hands in the air and wave because you really do care.
He's worthy, 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 worthy. He's worthy, 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 worthy. Come into this house, magnify the Lord.
And tell him he's worthy if you have it. His pastor so wonderfully presented and has been presenting since we've been back together. You see him being with us is different when we're sitting here together. One of the reasons I believe, and many of us all believe, is that the church always gets to hit first for a reason. Because we need to check ourselves to be ready for what's coming. I don't know how many of y'all read the real, like, news. Don't, like, read the main people because they're all pocketed. But read the off people, NPR, and some of the people who are independent. Our world is in a great shakeup right now. It's not unusual if you look at world history. But the thing is, when we can look at the world and go, it's going crazy, Our God is looking at us going, what are you going to do about it? I've given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. So what are you going to do? How are you going to impact the craziness that's going on around you? Throwing Bibles at people? That ain't worked. Condemning their sins? That ain't worked.
Thank you. know about you, but I have to say that one of my favorite times in service and praise and worship was in thanks for praise and worship. For me, it helps me to get my heart and all right so that we can get ready to hear the word. I mean, everything is so progressive about the service. And I'm sure you've heard the words, you know, do we really want to honor God? Let the songs, the words, our works be acceptable to you, Lord. But there really is only one way that we can do that, right? And that's if our works and our deeds are predicated on love. God is all about love. Everything he asks us to do is predicated on that. He sent Jesus because he loved the world so much. He didn't want to see any one of us perish. So Jesus took the hit for us. Wow, so that we don't have to reap that punishment for the sins that we've already committed and the ones that we're going to commit in the future. God is so good. So the subject today for Pastor's sermon is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He has asked me to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And it reads as follows. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. We know who our officer is. He's like a real officer and a gentleman. Okay, this is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his mighty word. We are indeed blessed just reading the rich content of the pearls of wisdom that is 2 Timothy on what it really means to be a soldier is indeed a blessing. People in the world spend millions of dollars every year trying to find themselves in self-help products. And here we have the Word of God, the secrets of life revealed and the mysteries of the past illuminated brightly so all of us can see it. Not only that, we have the spiritual guide in the Holy Spirit, and God in his wisdom has even sent pastors as local shepherds to further lead us in our walk of faith. Please join me in giving attention to the message about how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ that Pastor O is about to deliver. Okay, are you ready? You ready? Okay, I want you to get a mental picture in your mind, okay? You got yourself a shovel, okay? Got it? Got yourself a bucket, all right? It's like you're mining gold. Anybody ever been out there on a gold dig? How exciting to get that big, juicy nugget of gold, okay? What we're getting ready to get right now is way better than that, right? We're getting the precious word of God. So if you are ready to get it, then repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. Hey, gold diggers, okay, John. Amen. Whew. It's kind of different, right? Being back, this is just different. You know, I don't think things going to ever be the same. But I think we ought to be adaptable, you know what I mean? We ought to be chameleon in a kind of way. Just adapt to the situation. Be adaptable. Know that God knows what's going on. God created the world. And he's allowed or said this thing. But we don't even like to say that. We don't even like to think that. We like to think the devil did it all by himself. He just raised up a virus and started infecting people. No, he had to get permission. Just like he had permission, the Bible says that he had to get permission to get at Jones. He had to get permission. And so he sought permission, or either the Lord divinely sent it to shake us up. And as I heard Pastor Tate, Janice Tate say, that if you study world history, if you study Christian history, you will notice something about every so often, every so many hundred years, there would be a shakeup. Mm-hmm. there would be a huge shakeup. It all started at the Tower of Babel. That was the first, well, actually, the flood was the first big shakeup. Okay, you think, Cliff, they would have got straight from that. They ain't get straight. They get to the Tower of Babel like, we on the other side of the flood. We going crazy again. We going to make a name for ourselves apart from God. That's what this all about. Christians trying to live apart from God, trying to be a Christian and live apart from God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. We praise your holy name. We thank you for yet again in a pandemic, especially when the virus is on the surge, you've allowed us to come back into your house and to worship you in peace and in safety. And Lord, we believe that no matter what happens, as the song says, we are so safe and we are definitely in your hands. We've done what we know to do. We've gotten ourselves vaccinated and we trust in you. We ain't trusting the vaccine. We trust in you to make it work. And we thank you for that. Bless this word, Lord, that you've given us to work for us and be worked out in our everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today. And bless my heart.
Bless my heart.
So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts, man, are not like yours. But I am here today to drink cold water. I mean to, I'm here today to have my mind changed so I can be brand new. Hey, like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, that's what we want to be, brand new. Brand new. Amen. That's what they say, brand new. Amen. We just get gooder. That's pretty much it. Till we get to heaven. Then we'll be brand new. All the way brand new. I want to talk to you today about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It has been a funny subject for me all week long. I think I got it last week. I think I said that to you last, what, Sunday? Amen. I was trying to sit around and do nothing and be empty-headed as normal. And Jesus came to me and said, talk about a good soldier. I'm like, Jesus, but I just finished talking about, hey, what did I talk about last week? I done forgot. Oh, y'all did too, huh? Amen. Hey, man, we were talking about Christians being Christians in the last days and Christians not conforming to the world but being transformed by the renewing of their mind, changing the way they think, changing the way they act. Amen. So that's what we talked about, 2 Timothy 3, right, 1 through 4. And we talked about all of those. And what's funny about that book is he was writing to Timothy, who was the pastor of a church. And he didn't tell Timothy, I need you to go out into the world and tell them unsaved people how to act. He was talking about church folk acting like that. You go read it sometimes, and you will see that he said, you're going to meet people like that in church, in the body of Christ. Stay away from them kind of people. Not because in 2 Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, y'all remember the boy in chapter 5 who was sleeping with his mother? And the father was like not even saying nothing? And the Corinthians was like, what? We do this all the time. But no, now you're a Christian. You can't do that. So Paul told him to put the boy out. But over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Lord said, now, I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, around verse 5, he said, now bring the boy back in. Let the devil have his way with him to work that behavior out of him, and then when that behavior is worked out like the prodigal son, then bring him back in. Don't treat him like an enemy. Just treat him like a hard-headed Christian who won't do what Jesus say. When you catch a Christian who won't listen to Jesus, you'll be like, oh, even if you don't have a wife, you'll be like, oh, you know what, I got a meeting. 1 John 1:9 over here, and I'm going to leave. Amen? Why? Because they'll bring you down. Isn't it amazing that when an unsaved, when a Christian marries an unsaved person, the Christian side acting unsaved, rather than infecting, amen, or affecting the unsaved to be like a Christian, we become like them. I mean, think about it. When you're on the job, I'm talking about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's just connected to the same old sermon, right? Think about it when you're on the job. When you hear them on the job trashing the boss, do you get in on it? When you hear them on the job gossiping, do you get in on the gossip? Amen. See, what you're supposed to be, come on, Terrence, help me, a bright light. You're supposed to be different. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ, amen, pays attention to what they're supposed to be doing. They don't get it. When I joined the Navy, that first week, they call it Pee Week. Amen. That's where you pre this, pre that, a whole week of it, okay? And you get a whole bunch of shots. They start giving you shots. I don't know what I was thinking. I hate needles. I hate following orders. But somehow I got it in my head to join the Navy. I didn't want to join the Army because they get off the boat and go fight. I saw that in the movie. Doing that. The Marines, they be gangbusters. Let me off the boat. Let me off the boat. They be jumping off swimming the shore. No, I ain't doing that because when they got the show, they usually got shot. So I'm like, I ain't joining that. So I watched this other movie, and I saw in the Navy, they don't go out there and fight. They stay on the boat, and they shoot to the shore while the other people going, and they'll never get off the boat. I'm like, I'm joining the Navy. So then I didn't like school. I hated school, too. I couldn't stand school. School was like the flu to me. Amen. School was like a horrible disease to me. I ain't going over there. I might catch it. Amen. So I joined the Navy. Guess what they do in the Navy? They go to school from 7 in the morning to 5 in the evening. And guess what happened if you fail a class? They put you back 2 weeks. They call it asthma. Hey, Lord, have mercy. As soon as we got there, they came on the bus like we had already done something wrong. I'm like, I don't know who did it, but I wish they would fess up. Why are they hollering at us like that already? Already they were stripping us. That's what they were doing. They were separating you. They were sanctifying you. We got sanctified. We ran around the bus, kicked up for Jesus. Amen. They were setting us apart. In the scripture, it says that if you're in the military, they don't need you to be entangled anymore in what? Civilian affairs. Because they're going to change your mind. You want to know how serious they were? When we got off that bus, it was 87 of us. When we went into that barracks, it was 87 of us. 7 weeks later, when we graduated from this part of boot camp, before we went to apprentice training, it was 40 of us. The first thing they wanted to do, 47 people got trashed all the way out. I mean, it's as if they jumped on top of us and just started beating, and if you didn't fall out, you got to stay. But if you fell out, you had to go. Now, you didn't go home. You can literally be in boot camp for up to 6 months. We had people come into our company who was on their last road, and then they got asthma. And then when I got in the military, I found out ain't no such thing as just honorable and a just dishonorable discharge. It's 7 of them. And only the honorable are going to work good for you when you get out. The rest of them are going to make people be like, oh, honorable under general conditions. What's the condition? Let me see your DD-215. DD-215 is a snitch. Amen. DD-214 and 15, both of them snitches. They tell everything you did. They explain your whole military state. Amen. I came out with an honorable discharge. You know what? One of the things they did when we first got there is educate. That was the first thing. Oh, yeah, you was going to get some physical training, but I ended up in what's called a special company. Like Jesus tell me all the time, you're special. Amen. When I mess up or something, say something real stupid, he's like, you are just special. Amen. I ended up in a special company simply because it had an even number as the last number, 902. So I'm in a special company. In a special company, you don't do that much physical training, but you go to school a whole lot. Amen. And so when you go to school, the first thing they start doing is re-educating you. Like the floor, they said, what is that? You said, it's a floor. They said, no, it's not, it's a deck. And then you look up there, what is that? That's the ceiling. No, it's not. It's an overhead. And then you go in the bathroom. I can't even tell you what they call that stuff. You can't talk like that in church. But if they ask you in the military, I don't care how religious or how holy or Christian you was, you better answer what it is. Amen. Or you'd be surprised how much punishment you can get for the littlest thing. But the first thing they started doing was what the Bible tells us in Romans, is they started turning us into what would be a good soldier. And that education was important. You had to be trained in everything. And so it is with the Lord. When he grabbed his disciples and they started following him, they didn't know it, but they just went to boot camp for 3 years. They had to go through some re-education process because, see, they had been under the Judaizers, under the Pharisees, under the scribes, under the teachers of the law. That's where Jesus found them. So Jesus had to re-educate them. You would hear Jesus say in his Sermon on the Mount, it has been said. That means in the Old Testament. But then Jesus, being God, could say, but now I say. Amen. So they had to be re-educated on what they had been educated on. Amen. And when they walked with him, sometimes they had to put up with hardships. A good soldier learns how to deal with hardships. A good soldier learns how to push past. A good soldier learns how to push past quit or push past stop. A good soldier knows when to go and when to stop. And it's all based on what they taught you. So after about 3 or 4 weeks in there, you should be flipped to the other side. You should be yes sir, no sir. And you should be hollering it loud. You should be able to do 25 push-ups at the drop of a hat. I learned real quick because every time you mess up, drop, give me 25. I'm like, you know, 5, 2.5? Why I got to give you 25? Amen. I started accepting the education. You know why? Because one guy, he joined and he had come from Maine or Maryland or something. His father was a sheriff. And our company commander was black. Okay, Lieutenant Commander McGill, and he was something else. Okay, he was harder than hard. Amen. And this guy told him, after he had talked real rough to him, put hands on him, he said, my father's a sheriff, and I'm going to tell. Amen. We didn't see him no more until one day we was going to the mess hall, and then we saw him with the Marines, and they got them clubs with the red around the bottom, so if they bust your head, it won't even show. And they have to salute a dog every morning they wake up. They got a little bulldog with a flag on it. You got to salute it. And they was in what's called Delta. So they had to go 3 hours of what they call happy hour. Happy hour was training with your dummy rifle, or M14, for an hour. You had to hold it in your hands just like that for an hour. You had some who just made you hold it out. You had some who had you to do push-ups with your hand gripped around a rifle. That's happy hour. Delta is 3 hours of that. You know when I got real serious? When one night I got sent to happy hour. You know why? Because in the military, you have to love the person next to you. Like Jesus told us, love you one another like I've loved you. So I let this guy next to me, because he's a grown man, full grown in the military. He went to sleep in class. But he was sitting next to me. And somebody else, okay? All of us went to happy hour. Why? Because we ain't look out for our boy. We ain't have his back. So while I'm in happy hour for my second trip, because I like being happy, you know, I'm a happy guy, right? Happy hour, I'll go, but I found out it wasn't fun. But it got real serious for me, Mary. You know how it got serious? We was with this man, this commander, his name was Keep, we called him Keep on Trucking. And he had us run around the drill hall. Just the whole hour, you just run. Okay? The first time that happened to me, I ducked out into the furnace room. And then when the run was about over, I came out the furnace room. You know, running with him. But the second time, that didn't work. So this guy couldn't go no more. So what they would do is make you go over to the wall and put your head in a bucket. Then all of a sudden, the guy's head just fell. And we run around looking at him like, I said, put my head in the bucket and just go to sleep. But he died. He was dead. Real dead. Not military dead, not faith dead, but real dead. And you know what they sent home to his mother? He died in the defense of his country. He died to make America free. No, he died because he got exhausted and wanted to stop, and they wouldn't let him. Now you can imagine what happened to 47 people. See, a good soldier, amen, and the devil is the boot. He's the commander. He is the one that's going to try you. He is the one going to push you to the brink. Now, he'll push you so far, and then Jesus will have you back off. Okay? But Jesus knows that we need to be good soldiers. We can't be crybabies. We cannot allow the slightest little thing to take us out, to make us put our head down. A lot can happen to you in this life. Okay? A lot of things, you can come across a lot of bad times in this life, especially being a Christian. We wake up in the morning, we're not thinking about what Jesus is thinking about. We're not thinking that we are soldiers for the Lord. We're not thinking we're on the battlefield for the Lord. We just think it's another day of I got to go to work, another day of I got to put up with them. But we're not thinking realistically as a Christian. We're a soldier. You cannot be over in Vietnam or on the battlefield roaming around like the ballet happened. Even when you were back at base camp, you still had to know that a battle could break out any time. You had to be ready. They had foxholes. They had barricades put up for you to run and jump in. Even when we were on the ship, they had us constantly practicing what they call general quarters. They wanted you to be ready in seconds. And if you mess up, you get severely punished. And it's no different for us. We're on the battlefield for the Lord. And the Lord wants us to be good soldiers. But we've become too involved, too entangled in worldly affairs. How much do you talk to Jesus about saving souls? How often you pray to him to help you teach somebody who is already in the body of Christ? How much have you asked Jesus to bless you financially so you could put to the side enough to take care of people when they get in hell? So always, the Lord said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that you're going to be, I'm going to store you up. I'm going to load you up so that you can on every occasion, so that you can always be ready. What we pray about tells us what we're concerned about. Are we concerned about the things that God is concerned about? When he hears us pray, are we talking about his stuff? Or are we just telling God, fix this, fix that, fix this. I don't like that. That gives me a headache. Fix that. Amen. A good soldier of Jesus Christ learns how to use their weapon. I learned how to shoot, and I was pretty good at it, okay? I don't know what happened. I just was good at it. I was good at aiming and shooting and killing. That was my thing. I loved that. I didn't like going to school every day. I got over that, too. But once they sent me to happy hour, I aced every class. I ain't failed no classes. Amen. I also made rank. I started working on E2 when I was an SR in boot camp. Why? Because my company commander said, stuff rolls downhill. So I'm like, well, what is an SR, seaman recruit? So that's the bottom of the hill. So I'm like, well, according to what you're saying, I'm going to catch a whole lot of stuff. He's like, yeah, so I started working on rank. I wanted to move up. Amen? To move up, you had to learn. You had to become military. After I saw this boy get slapped in the face like a baby, I decided Pastor O wasn't laughing and joking no more unless they weren't there. When they weren't there, I was laughing and joking. But when they came in there, I was like your boy Chris Tucker. As soon as Debo leaves, I'd be laughing again. But as long as Debo was in the room, Pastor O was straight up. I made second platoon leader and then first platoon leader. Why? Because stuff rolled down here. And when I went to apprentice training, I got there and immediately went to work on getting a position made master at arms. was the worst person in the world to be master at arms, but I made it. Why? Because stuff rolls downhill. But they teach you how to use your weapon. Our weapon is the Bible. That's our weapon. Okay? And you're only as good a soldier as you are with your weapon. If you can't use your weapon, if you're wondering how to port arms, left arm, right arm, side arm, all of that, if you can't get that together, then you don't know how to use your weapon. If you can't shoot or shoot straight, you ain't going to hit nothing when you do shoot. The Lord gave us Bible class so we can learn how to use our weapon. The Lord gave us home study. That's why you can take your Bible home. Remember in school there were some books you couldn't take home? Well, it ain't like that in the church. You can take your Bible home. And the Lord wants you to study that Bible. They gave us the military uniform code of military justice. Oh, God, I hated that book. And they could come up there with 11 general orders, and you could be standing on your watch, and here come crazy man. And the worst one on the quarterdeck, he coming, and he say, what's the ninth general order? And you got to spit it out. And if you don't know it, you could be doing push-ups for days. You can even get asthma because you don't know the military code of justice. Amen. And they push you back. They educate you. They want you to be a good soldier. They want you to be a top-notch soldier. And if the world is like that about their soldiers, shouldn't we be like that in the church? Shouldn't we have a church of teaching, learning, and doing so we can produce some top-notch Christian soldiers? Folks who know how to use that Bible. Folks who know how to rightly divide that word of truth. Folks who know how to lead people to Christ. I don't know how to lead nobody to Christ. How long have you been saved? Since I was a kid. And you 60? And you still don't know how to lead nobody to Christ. You're still uncomfortable with that. You need to get excited about your Savior. I was out here yesterday, me and Jonathan, and we were talking about race cars or something. And Tyrone Loving was standing there, and Tyrone said, really? Sound like you ready to teach a class on that. Amen? That's because I know that. I can talk about that. Amen? We had three preachers out here yesterday, and I ain't trying to slam nobody. I'm going to take Janet's line. I ain't trying to push up on nobody, right? But we had three preachers out there. We only had 10 minutes to preach. One preacher had a whole Bible look like full of manuscripts. And he was just up there. You can't read to me because I got ADD. So you get to reading to me, it's a wrap. You get to reading to me. You get to reading your sermon to me, and you can't even lift your head up and look at me. You just reading to me. It's a wrap. Because I can't. I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to change my cam. I'm going to put my timing up. What my shoe look like? I ain't going to be paying no attention to you, right? Because I can go home and read a book. I tell you, I used to tell Sheila on the way home from some churches, I would say, you know, I didn't even have to go hear that. He could have just wrote that out, passed it out. I could have read it at the crib. I didn't even have to go. Amen. But it just amazes me how you cannot know. You've been with the Lord how long? You've been preaching how long? And you got 10 minutes. They gave us 10 minutes or less. And you can't talk about Jesus for 10 minutes without a manuscript thick as Nicole Bible. And then the lady had to go up there and pull a plug. And then pull a plug on me. Why? I didn't want to preach one minute. So you sure know that. I came in under time. Amen? I came in, and Blog Talk Radio that got me so trained that I can't even preach 45 minutes no more. I automatically feel like when it's time to cut off. Amen? I haven't violated yet, have I, Sharon? I ain't violated yet. I automatically cut off because I've been doing it for over a year on the radio, so you get trained. Lord wants us to know how to use our Bible, y'all. He wants us to stop going to the Old Testament to try to lead somebody to Christ. Remember Janice told us, get your one-minute testimony together? And that testimony wasn't no scripture, was it? It was about why you love Jesus. I heard her talk about that not too long ago somewhere. Why do you love Jesus? What is the reason? What does he do for you? What makes you worship him? What makes him your Lord and your Savior? What makes him, in spite of not having everything you need? What makes you not, in spite of not everything going right in your life? What makes you still get up and go to church every Sunday? if you can tell people why you came to Jesus, that's what works for them. They're unsaved. They can't understand Scripture. Amen? You might as well talk to a baby about the Bible and then get mad at the baby. Like, you know, I know I explained words to you. Why you ain't getting saved? And the baby's like, yeah. You know? The baby's like, Mommy, you crazy. You have to learn how to use the word. I mean, first it's going to work for you. That's what he said over in 2 Corinthians, right? Having all that you need, first is going to work for you. Amen? Like Janice said earlier, if faith is knowing what God said and acting on it, that's faith. Okay? You cannot impress God with depression. That's not going to move him. Faith moves him. Faith moves mountains, not depression, not fear, not being scared of everything. Faith moves. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to work for the Lord and be afraid. It's like when Elijah was on Mount Carmel. It wasn't like he wasn't afraid, because we know right after that he was very afraid and got up out of there, right? So it doesn't mean because you're afraid. I'm afraid to preach. I have a horrible fear of being in a crowd. I have a crowd for me is me and somebody else. Okay, and Sheila will tell you, when you hear me start singing, I'm nervous. When you hear me start telling a joke after joke after joke, I'm nervous. Okay? And so I asked the Lord, why would you call somebody like this to preach? I am wrong in every kind of way. What is wrong with you? If you're God, well, he let me talk to him like that because I was about ignorant as a baby. Amen. Amen. But faith is knowing what God said and acting on it. Amen. And that's about everything. When I got to that ship in Hawaii, that's where I was stationed, on the USS AO-146 Kawishigi. That was the name of the boat. I don't even know how they came up with that. But I was stationed in Hawaii. When I got to that ship, I was already familiar with the ship because I studied them when we were in boot camp. So I knew what kind of ship I was going on. I knew it from the front to the back, from the stem to the stern, to the port to the aft, knew where all of that stuff was. I knew what kind of bombs were on the boat. I knew what kind of guns were on the boat. And as soon as I got to the boat, I found out where they're giving the test for upgrading. And I upgraded to E2. As soon as I could get it, they won't let you do it right away, but as soon as I could, I made E2. That's the way the Lord wants us. Old folks simply said it like this. Every round goes higher and higher. That's a pessimistic, optimistic view. But still, it works, and it's true. Every round goes higher. What does that mean? Every age, okay? Every Sunday school class, every Bible class, every home study class, you ought to be becoming more familiar with what God said, and you ought to be willing to press in. You have to be willing to press in, because when the Lord gives you faith, a good soldier sooner or later is going to war. Sheila and I were talking the other day, and Jesus was here with his disciples for a little while, and then after 3 years, when God got ready to kind of go in cab company, sent a cloud, Jesus rolls on up to heaven. And they were now here. Boot camp's over. You're on the battlefield. And as soon as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, just 10 days after that ascension, it was time to hit the ground running. And they faced opposition as soon as they got filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they faced opposition. And what did Peter respond to when somebody said, these men are drunk? And then everybody bust out laughing. You know that ain't what nothing but the devil trying to cast a dispersion on them. But how did Peter respond? With the word of God. That is the first thing. His defense did not come from, I'll beat your brains out. His defense, you need to back on up off me right about now. Okay, that wasn't his defense. His defense came from the word of God. His defense was explaining what these people were seeing. And, you know, he did such a good job with the Word of God. And you need to read Peter's first sermon sometime. You need to know that Peter didn't have a manuscript. You need to know that Peter didn't open up his Bible and say, I want to talk to you from this verse and this verse and this verse. Peter allowed the Holy Spirit to pour what Jesus had put in him in boot camp. What he learned in boot camp came out. Now it's time to be a good soldier. It's time to stand up for Jesus instead of stooping down. And rather than saying something humanly stupid to respond to something that was humanly stupid, he gave them the word. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And when we lift Jesus up, amen, with the word, then people have no choice but to be drawn in. Why? Because when God speaks a thing, it's going to happen. When God speaks a thing, it's going to happen. And you need to have that confidence. Sometimes we have to be reminded, like Moses, when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And now they're at the Red Sea. Pharaoh done changed his mind. He's coming after them. And God says to Moses, why are you panicking and crying out to me? See, that's what he says to us. Why? Because he's already given us a word. And he wants us to be reminded of that word. So Moses suddenly remembered back at Mount Sinai that staff God gave him. And then Moses said, oh, that's what you're talking about. The Holy Spirit had brought that word back to him. He brings to our remembrance whatever God has said. And then he took that staff and just held it out against the sea. And now watch this. He stayed that way. The battle didn't get over real quick. It was like that from the middle of the night until the dawn. And then the Red Sea started parting. Whatever God said, it's going to happen. But you have to know that God said it, and you have to know God said it to you. A lady came on Kathy's show not too long ago, and she said, we need to put these kids under the Old Testament. We need to put them under the law. I couldn't wait till my little segment came on to tear that up. Amen, because that wasn't nothing but a trick from the devil to take their power away from them and put them in a power that won't work for them. So we went to Romans chapter 3, and we started around verse 19, where God says, obviously, the law was given to those who God gave it to. And that wasn't us. We are in what's called the dispensation of grace, or the age of grace. And when we studied the 52 vital doctrines, we learned about those different dispensations and what we can claim from God's word and what's not available to us, but just history for us. We saw God do it for them. We can say God will do it for us in the same context. But when we don't rightly divide the word of truth, and we start spitting out Old Testament scriptures, that would be like, that wasn't even funny. Amen. He knows. He knows what word from God will affect him. And so he wants us to be bad soldiers. He don't want us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what the devil will do? He will tangle you up so much in this world, you ain't got time for home study. You don't even have a mind for it. You don't study at home. Okay? You don't go to no Bible classes. You just don't feel it. Okay? That's what he wants you. He don't mind if you're in the military and you got a gun. Just don't learn how to use it. And imagine, June, you rushing up into y'all doing a raid, and you rushing up into a place, and they all armed up. And, you know, most folks, they don't know how to shoot. They just be all this kind of thing. And you run up in there, and you, how do I get my safety off? They told me when I was in training, but I wasn't paying attention. How do I stop shooting at me? It's not fair. I can't get my safety off. Imagine that thing. That's us. That's us when the devil shows up. And God has allowed him to show up. And then he comes at us to test how good of a soldier in Christ we are. You heard Pastor Tate say it. God has given us everything pertaining to godliness and how to live this Christian life. So we have everything I need. The problem with it is it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Everything I need is in the Bible. But the devil have convinced me that I can just trust Jesus. I can just trust the Lord. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. The devil know he a liar. He'd be like, what? I've been doing that since the garden. Y'all remember my first lie? Y'all going to be like God. Knowing good and evil. Okay? Everything going to work wonderful for you. You're going to be on your own, determining for yourself. The devil will come and try every word God put in your heart. Every time, this word, you're going to be tried all week long to see how good of a soldier you are. It's not to discredit you, make you feel bad, depress you. The Lord wants to do that to show you where you are in your faith. If you get all tore up and your first reaction to everything that happened is depression and tears and calling everybody you know, trying to depress them and get them crying too, God is showing you that your faith ain't right. And he allows you to be in that situation so you can see clearly you don't have faith. You're not a good soldier. You need to go back for some apprentice training. Amen. Some EMI. You need some extra military instruction. I got a lot of that. It wasn't a good thing, but I got a lot of EMI because, you know, if you come back to the ship late 1 minute, you get EMI. You didn't get in the Navy, in the military, you're no short. There is no forgiving of anything. You're going to get it. Okay? They expect you to be right all the time. Okay? And if not, then they punish you because they're trying to help you to become a good soldier. And Jesus, look, what does the Bible say? All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We're all called according to his purpose. We've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're called according to his purpose. His purpose is for us to be good soldiers. How is God going to find out if we're a good soldier? He's going to put us on the battlefield. If you're going to school, high school, if you're going to college, if you're going to work somewhere, if you're just going to the grocery store, as soon as you get up, wake up, you're on the battlefield. And the rest of that day, okay, is going to determine what kind of soldier you are. We should know. Whenever something comes up, we should be like John when they was on that boat and they caught that 153 fish. And John said, it is the Lord. We should know when these things come at us that God allows this. I belong to him. He's my Lord and Savior. He's got a plan for me. Jeremiah tells us when he was talking and concerning the Israelites who are going to come out of bondage one day in chapter 29:11, we love to quote that, right? I know the plans I have for you, a promise, a hope, and a future. Well, we can grab that and say those are the plans. God has a plan for us to reach heaven. But before we get there, before we, amen, come out of the military, we have to go through the battle. And we're in it every day. Wherever you go, every day, you're on the battlefield. When you wake up and start walking around the house, you're on the battlefield. The Bible says those of your own household can be your worst enemy. People in your own house, the only people who can really get to you are people who you know and would listen to. You know, I know this man, Reverend Wiggins, in heaven now. But he told me about a time that he was in the plant. And he was walking, and this man was saying, hey, boy, come here. And he wouldn't turn around and look at him. He said, hey, boy, do you hear me? And he wouldn't turn around and look at him. And finally, the man caught up with him and touched him on his shoulder and said, did you hear me calling you? He said, I heard some fool back there hollering, hey, boy. But you weren't calling me. My name's John. Hey, man, we're on the battlefield, y'all. The Lord has provided us with everything we need to be good soldiers. The main thing in biblical education. The more you know about God, the more you put into practice, the more power you have. And because you have more power, Jonathan will tell you, when you get stronger, you need more weight to press you even stronger. And so God will do that. Jesus is going to allow more weight, more battles to come your way. Why? Because you're stronger, and you need to be yet stronger. The Lord is working on us till we become the people who say, not the people who slap people, cuss people out, and all kinds of crazy. But he wants us to be the people who say what he said. He said, if you say to this mountain, be removed, and you believe in your heart and don't doubt what God said, then what you believe will happen. It's just that simple. But don't think it's going to be simple to believe under pressure. When you're in a Philippian jail situation, can you be a good soldier when you've been beaten for nothing? And when you've not been tried but thrown into the dungeon? And when your feet is in the stocks and your hands chained to the wall and you're being left to be fed on by rats, nobody's even coming to take you to the bathroom? Can you sing praises to God at midnight? Have you learned enough from the Lord to know that this too shall pass? Amen. Or can you be like Paul, who prayed to the Lord three times? We know Paul was a good soldier, but he said, Jesus, I didn't ask you three times on this hookup, on this thing. And then the Lord finally answered and told him, no, I ain't fixing that. But my grace is sufficient for you. My unmerited favor and my power to do the will of God, no matter what, that's going to have to be sufficient for you. No, I ain't fixing it. How do we feel when the Lord says, no, I ain't fixing that? We keep worrying him to do this and to do that. And what if he say no? Hey, do you still love him? Do you still feel the same way about Jesus? Do you still feel like fighting the good fight of faith? See, Paul wasn't just mincing words when he said that. He said, I have fought a good fight of faith. That means I've been living by God's word, and it has not been easy. But I keep doing what the Lord tells me to do. I keep going where the Lord tells me to go. Even though Paul said in Acts chapter 20, I know that the Holy Spirit tells me that prisons and chains await me. Even when Agabus the prophet came down there real, when it prophesied over him and told him the man who owns this belt, and he tied himself up with it, said, this is what the Jews going to do to that man who owns this. And sure enough, that happened to Paul. He went down there and did what the Lord told him to. They tried the ruse, but the ruse didn't work. He went on, shaved off all his hair. I'm under a vow. They said, this is the man who's been telling everybody, you don't have to keep the law no more. And so they locked him up. He ended up being locked up again. And guess who showed up that night? Jesus showed up. Nico, Jesus came in the room and told Paul, you got to preach for me in Rome. Don't even worry about what's happening here in Jerusalem or on the way from here to there. And you need to read how the Lord escorted Paul all the way to Caesar to tell Caesar, Jesus is Lord. That's the kind of soldier God wants us to be. We don't need to read about these biblical characters and think we can't be those people. We are those people right now. Do you know angels watch us every day? They know who we are, and they know whose we are, and they watch us. The Bible says that they look into the things that we have access to every day. They're excited about it. We won't even read the word. We won't even do the word. And they're excited about us. Amen. Whenever we hear sermons like this, the Lord is just asking us to examine ourselves. Are we good soldiers of Jesus Christ? Or are we so tangled up in worldly affairs that we cannot please the one who enlisted us? Crystal says it in her announcement on Saturday all the time. Jesus wants us to go to Jerusalem. He wants us to go to Judea. He wants us to go to Samaria. He wants us to go to the uttermost parts of this earth. Are we doing that? Have we gone to the people that we know right in our house? Have we been that good soldier? Have we gone to our community, our state? Have we gone to our nation? Do we even deal with people that we don't like to be around or places we don't even like to go in. We're just going to leave them and go to hell. Are we doing anything to reach out to the uttermost parts of this earth? That's a good soldier. So the Lord says to us, examine ourselves. Don't examine my soldier. Examine your soldier. Examine yourself to see if you're a good soldier. Amen? And whenever the Lord points stuff out like this, don't do like I did. I got mad at him, Sharon. I said, is this what you do? You save people, then you just point out every wrong thing they're doing? Is that what you go? Is this going to go on until I die? He said, I am just highlighting what is keeping you from being like him. Didn't we read that in Colossians? That we're working to be like him? Didn't Ephesians tell us in chapter 4 that all the I gave sons to be apostles and sons to be prophets and sons to be evangelists and I gave sons to be pastors and teachers so that we can all be built up in the faith, in the unity of Christ. That's the goal that the Lord has for each and every one of us. Now, like he tells me or used to tell me all the time, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. But Jesus is not going to stop trying to turn you into a good soldier. When I was in the military, they gave you 6 months. He'd give you till you die. And in the military, you had 6 months to get it together, and then they was just going to kick you out altogether. Give you an unfit discharge. That's what your discharge say, unfit. Amen? Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, that you give us the opportunities to become good soldiers. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have laid out in your word what a good soldier is. And we thank you, Father, that you're willing to work with us until you accomplish that. Jesus, you're the one who said it. You said it in Philippians 1 and 6 that you're going to keep working on us until you bring us to completion. And we know, Lord, that won't be until we leave here. But, Father, we want to be good soldiers here because we don't have to be a soldier in heaven. But we do need to be a good soldier here. So, Lord, whether we at home with you or whether we here in this body, help us to make it our goal to please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I didn't run out of time again. I'm trying to get right. I can't get right no more. Now I'm get right.
Almost had me over there singing, I am on the battlefield. If you've been paying attention to anything from the start to our good Father, to the scripture in James where don't consider it all joy what you're going through. It's a test, and soldiers. One thing you talk about, when we were being educated in the military, didn't we have to take a test and pass it? Always. So you're getting tested, so pass the test. And don't, when you're tempted to do evil, remember, that's not God. He don't tempt you to do evil. He's always working for our good. And so we know that this Father holds our world in his hands, and we get to come and give him glory and honor and praise so that we can live a life that's pleasing to him. That's what the world needs to see. As you see, the church has gotten caught up, or sections of our brothers and sisters, pray for them, the true church, because they've gotten caught up in worldly affairs. Who's the president? Who cares? This is not an eternal kingdom. He says America is not an eternal kingdom. Jesus is not going to set up his throne in Washington, D.C. Read your book. It's in there. So don't be worried about what's going on. Trust God. If you read it, these things are heading somewhere. And God is the author of where it's heading. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't have to worry about nothing when he's the one. Be good soldiers. Get in the word. Biblical illiteracy is the number one problem in the church. And it's obvious when people can go climb the Capitol walls and stand on the Senate floor and say, should we pray? I think we should pray while we're committing a felony. They don't know the Bible. Don't let that be you. Because just as they got caught up in that, we can also get caught up in the other direction where everything goes. Get in the Word. Get in these Bible classes. Take advantage of what's coming with June. Pray for her. There's mental illness is a major thing. Y'all read about the man that speared his two little kids, 2 years old and 10 months old? Because QAnon said they had serpent DNA. Just saying. It's real. Demonic host, real. What you going to do about it? Be scared or be with the one who called you into his service to be a soldier, to serve him until you transition out of here? Amen? Come on, stand on your feet. Get your honorable discharges on. You don't want that OTH one. You definitely don't want it dishonorable. Dishonorable people can't even work at McDonald's. We're called. Been a year and a half, still shaking the rust off. But we know this song. Declaring his name. Don't just run your mouth. If he's in the street, don't just talk about it. See about it. Declare his name by how you live, how you walk, how you talk. Know you mind? Have love one for another. That's how you declare his name.
And we will tell the world.
difference between God's boot camp and the world's boot camp is the world will kick you out, but he won't ever kick you out. He just keep working on you until he brings you out. Amen.
Amen.
Declare his name this week.
All right.